Good morning. You are listening to Raven Radio. Today is Tuesday, February 26, 2013. I'm Holly Keene, and this is Raven News. Voters in Sitka could decide whether to pay an extra seasonal sales tax for 2 years longer than originally planned. Back in 2003, voters approved increasing the sales tax for half the year. From April to October, Sitka businesses charge 6% sales tax instead of 5%. The extra percentage point was supposed to go away in 2022. Under a measure that could appear on October's ballot, the tax would now sunset in 2024. The change is to help pay back money Sitka borrowed in the late 1990s for improvements to Baranoff Elementary and Sitka High School. The city has been making payments from the general fund, but if the city instead uses the money from the extra sales tax, it could use the general fund for other needs, like school funding or government services. The city budget is expected to be tight this year. At its regular meeting tonight, the Sitka Assembly will decide whether to move the issue towards October's ballot. It would require another meeting before being placed in the hands of the voters. Raven Radio will provide live coverage of tonight's Assembly meeting beginning at 6 p.m. The family of a Sitka woman reported missing in October is still hoping for answers about her disappearance. The 33-year-old Lael Grant was last seen by family on October 14th. An extensive search was launched, and her vehicle was eventually found along the Nelson Logging Road at the northern end of Sitka's road system. Grant's older sister, Erica Grant Burkhouse, says in the initial weeks after Lael's disappearance, a lot of tips came in to authorities. But in the more than 4 months since then, information has dwindled. Burkhouse says the family continues to wish for a happy ending, but that above all, they just wanted to find out what happened.
We don't know. I mean, we're trying really hard to be hopeful. But we just don't know. I mean, and that's the horrible part, is not knowing.
She says police and local authorities have worked hard, but that she also knows they're busy with many cases. For the family, the last few months have been a lot of waiting. Burkhouse says it has taken its toll on Lael's 10 and 13-year-old sons.
Sitka's a very small town. There have been a lot of rumors going around, and the boys have heard those rumors. It's absolutely horrible. I can't even say anything besides it's horrible.
Burkhouse says the Sitka School District has been extremely responsive to the family's needs and to helping Grant's sons cope when they're at school. In the meantime, while the family waits for word on what happened, Burkhouse says they're holding on to good memories.
Lael is wonderful. I mean, she's absolutely amazing. She has a heart of gold. She is thoughtful and a great mother, a great sister, just amazing.
Lael Grant has been missing since October 14th. Anyone with information about her disappearance is asked to call Sitka Police at 747-3245. When he ran for the Alaska House last year, Jonathan Christ Tompkins visited each community in his district, knocking on almost every door. The strategy paid off. The 24-year-old Democrat won a seat in the legislature by just 32 votes. And now that he's been on the job 6 weeks, it's becoming clear that Christ Tompkins' busy campaign schedule wasn't a sprint so much as the start of a marathon. KCAW's Ed Runco reports from Juneau.
The early morning hours in State Representative Jonathan Christ Tompkins' office on the fourth floor of the Alaska Capitol are actually pretty calm. Coffee is dripping into a pot near the door, and classical music plays softly from a speaker as staffers Nancy Barnes, Tully McLaughlin, and Holly Smith pore over calendars and answer emails. The calm does not last long.
Good morning.
Hi.
How you doing?
I'm okay.
Christ Tompkins arrives wearing most of his suit. The jacket and tie are waiting for him in his office. There's a strap around his right ankle to keep his pants free from the chain on the bicycle he rides to work every morning. Today, the 24-year-old freshman Democrat gets to the Capitol at 7:55 a.m. with two meetings already under his belt, one at 6 a.m., the other at 7:30. Next on the schedule is a committee meeting.
So it starts in 2 minutes.
Christ Tompkins puts on his tie and jacket and dashes down the hall to the staircase.
Are days usually this frenetic? Yeah. I've started to... there's not enough time in the building enough time in the building during the business day, so I've taken to scheduling 6 a.m. and 7 a.m. morning meetings.
He ducks into the State Affairs Committee. Today, it's a presentation on the healthcare system for state employees. The rest of the day includes a Fisheries Committee meeting on derelict vessels, a minority caucus meeting, a flash mob protesting violence against women, a Transportation Committee meeting, and then visits with an official from BP and local elected leaders from Anaktuvuk Pass, Haines, Pelican, and Sitka, all of whom are in the building today to lobby their lawmakers, and about 8 hours later...
Okay. Is there right now if I... Okay, I'll just be like... 3 minutes?
No problem. Okay.
After running down to the legislator's lounge for his first food of the day and then running back up to his office...
It was a very long 3 minutes.
What do you have?
Breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
He finally has time to sit down and talk. I ask him how holding this office compares with what he expected when he was running for office.
If I close my eyes... When I was a candidate, I couldn't picture that I'd be waking up at 5:45 to get down to the 6 a.m. meeting to get to this, get it to that, and, you know, going to the lounge to scrounge some leftovers before. You know, like, none of that would have been in my mind. I never could have pictured that, unless I'd worked here as a staffer or something, which I never did.
But what's the bigger challenge to the way you're doing your job? Being a freshman or being in the minority?
Freshman.
Why?
Everything's a learning curve, and the biggest divide in this building, from what I've seen, is not party affiliation, it's geography. It's coastal versus rail belt. Juneau is not Washington, D.C. The biggest surprise I've had since coming here, and I very consciously tried not to have expectations before coming here, is how collegial this place is, and it's surprisingly bipartisan. They're very meaningful working relationships.
During the campaign, one of the primary arguments not to vote for you was that Southeast would be giving up a lot of power if you were elected. Do you feel that's happened? I mean, how's that shaken out?
Yeah. Southeast and coastal Alaska. And, you know, I think we think in terms of Southeast Alaska, but really our compatriots from Kodiak and Bristol Bay and the YK Delta are just as important to our cause as we are to theirs. Lost a tremendous amount of power. And I would argue, and I think almost everybody in this building would agree, that the biggest power shift was not the defeat of Bill Thomas, who I ran against, but the loss of the Senate coalition.
The Senate's bipartisan coalition was disbanded after Republicans won more seats in November. Christ Tompkins says that the bipartisan coalition was also the legislature's coastal caucus. The three most powerful senators in the last session came from coastal communities, Kodiak, Sitka, and Bethel. In this session, he worries that those coastal voices are diminished. And although as a freshman in the minority, he does not have a lot of power in the halls of the Capitol, Christ Tompkins says for now, he's just focusing on doing his job well. You know, assuming you do want re-election, what do you hope you can tell people in 2014 at the end of your first term? And how are you going to get there?
I'm running for re-election. I believe good government is good politics. And so performing in this job to the full extent of my ability and working absolutely as hard and as smart and as effective as I can, I think is the best way ultimately in which I can make a bid to have my job for 2 more years, another 2-year lease.
This job seems very personal to you.
Deeply personal. You're representing people. People's lives. The legislation we pass affects people's lives. I can't imagine, you know, more heady stuff day to day to consider.
Our interview ended around 6 p.m., after which Christ Tompkins went to a budget hearing before boarding a ferry for an overnight sailing to Cake. After that, it was back to Juneau for the start of another week running through the halls of the Capitol, sometimes literally. Reporting from Juneau, I'm Ed Ronco.
Wrangell residents may see a survey show up in their mailboxes this month. They are being sent out by graduate student Britta Schroeder for her project on the Tongass. KSTK's Shady Grove Oliver has more.
British Schroeder used to live in Southeast and worked for the Forest Service in the Wrangell Ranger District for 5 years. Now, she's a graduate student at the University of Alaska Fairbanks. She's back in Wrangell once again, working on a project to map the Tongass. But this isn't the typical type of mapping. She's looking at how people value the Tongass, both economically and personally, but from a spatial perspective.
So this is the mapping and the survey encompass the Wrangell Ranger District. And so I'm interested in just looking at the Wrangell residents' opinions, because they are the ones who will be the most directly impacted by the decisions made within something like the Wrangell Island EIS.
An environmental impact statement, or EIS, is an intensive type of environmental analysis that natural resource managers, like the Forest Service, are required to do under the National Environmental Protection Act, or NEPA. She says that the Forest Service does ask for feedback from residents when they're thinking about changing forest management plans. But she says the feedback is often too general.
But it doesn't have the geographic boundaries or parameters that might be really helpful to the managers making these decisions. So I think it's really important to understand how people value the land on a geographic level. And that's what I mean when I say spatial.
She's mailing out 700 invitations to Wrangell residents to participate in the survey. The invitations will have a code for people to use online. In the survey, participants will be asked to look at a display similar to Google Earth and drag icons onto specific parts of the Tongass. They'll be able to mark areas they think are aesthetic, good for timber, and culturally important, among other things. She says she hopes the survey will bring a different type of local opinion into the Forest Service's decision-making process.
And that's all for Raven News. If you've missed any of our stories or would like to hear them again, visit us online, kcaw.org.